Welcome to What the Health? Where anything health is fair game as we tackle the trends and bust the myths about health and wellness. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Angela Toro.
And welcome to another What the Health podcast. I am Dr. Dan. This is sponsored by Toro Family Chiropractic. And I am here with my co-host,
Angela Toro. And got another great episode for you here today. I got to do the little disclaimer before we start. So you guys know this by now, but we're here for informational purposes, here to talk about health. We're in no way giving individualized medical advice. Always talk to your trusted healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle. So with that out of the way, talking about one that I know I'm very passionate about, which is the detriments of a sedentary lifestyle.
Oh, sedentary. That's a big word.
That's a big word.
That's $100.
That's $100.
Why don't we jump right into what it means to have a sedentary lifestyle? And I'd even like to go through some of the history of this, because I know there's research out there about how, you know, our ancestors used to move versus, you know, how maybe a couple generations ago we used to move versus how we move today. So maybe define a little bit about what's it mean to be sedentary? What's the definition of being sedentary or inactive versus, you know, what our bodies are actually designed and created to move versus maybe what are some of the recommendations and how they might be lacking in terms of an optimal level of movement. So I threw a lot at you.
Go ahead. So yeah, so sedentary, that is sitting time. So what we're unfortunately doing right now
time to get up and move.
Sedentary time is all of that time that you are in a seated position. So that's sitting at your desk, sitting on the couch, sitting at the table, sitting in your car, sitting all day long. And this is compared to physical activity, or what's considered leisure time physical activity. So that's all the times throughout the day that's not necessarily planned exercise. So that's something we're going to talk about a little bit, is the difference. But physical activity is all those times that essentially you're not sitting. So, you know, playing with the kids, cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry, walking the dog, those kind of things.
When adjusting you're spines.
Adjusting spines. Yes. Yes. Dr. Gann gets a lot of physical activity in his day. And yes, and people who have more active jobs. So, you know, nurses, construction workers, people in manual labor type jobs are getting a ton of physical activity versus obviously the way that the world has gone a lot, which is the much more computer driven, desk driven type of lifestyle. So I know you're going to get into that a little bit with the history, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a sedentary lifestyle. We are talking about those people that are sitting the majority of their workday and then sitting the majority of their leisure time. So really, you know, throughout the day, you figure there's 24 hours in a day. Ideally, you should be sleeping 8 of them. So if you are sitting the other 16, or say sitting, you know, 14 or 15 of the rest of that time, that is a very sedentary lifestyle. And unfortunately, that's very realistic for a lot of people anymore.
Yeah, it's so common. And I think it's important to recognize that, I mean, let's dive into this in terms of, you know, our exercise time versus our leisure and activity time. So, you know, when we look at this, if you're the type of person that is sitting, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day in front of your computer, and then, you know, maybe you go to the gym for 30 minutes or an hour, or ride your bike at home or have a treadmill at home, and you're doing that for 30 minutes to 60 minutes, and then you go and sit in front of the TV or sit down and read a book, it's like, you know, if you look at the recommendations from, like, you know, the nationally accredited institutions.
Yeah, the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans.
Yeah, and so what is it, like 30 minutes is moderate?
It's 150 minutes of moderate activity a week.
A week.
A week.
So that's 30 minutes a day for five days a week.
They're considering that meeting the minimum recommendation.
Yeah.
Or 75 minutes of vigorous activity a week.
Okay.
I'm like, I do that in a day.
So, again, we'll get into the different types of exercise here in a minute. But, you know, so we look at our lifestyle and how much it has changed in this technology-driven world. It's so blatantly obvious of why we have some of these chronic diseases. Because if you compare, and we've talked about genetics on here before, right? You know, our genes haven't changed in tens of thousands of years. The environment in which our genes are in
and expressed
has changed significantly. So if we look at where we are today, where the average person probably sits, and even our kids, right, mm-hmm. in school,
yeah,
they're sitting for, you know, and they have little activity times, so they have recess, maybe they can get up and run around for a half an hour, but it's like the majority of time they're sitting at their desks, mm-hmm. you know, for 8 hours plus a day. So we're already training them that that's the norm,
yeah.
and that's just completely dysfunctional. But most of us are on our laptops, we're sitting in front of our computers for hours on end, and, you know, and then yeah, again, we give a little glimmer of hope, and we're, you know, maybe we're trying to do good, and we're, you know, doing that half hour of exercise a day to meet that minimum requirement, but we are still falling drastically short from what, you know, let's say, let's go a generation or two ago when the majority of, you know, industry, you know, was in manufacturing, right? And, mm-hmm. and farming. And so much of those individuals, again, they woke up early, they went, it was very labor intensive, mm-hmm. very actively intensive. They're up moving around, moving their bodies mm-hmm. all day long. The concept of going to the gym, I mean, I don't even know what year that came
yeah,
in.
But
that was
no
only
idea.
Been a couple of decades ago, the concept of going to the gym when that
of
came
actually
on
having
the scene.
To do that planned exercise.
Yeah, I mean, Gold's Gym, LA Fitness, I mean, mm-hmm. those things came onto the scene, you know, really probably in like the 1970s, you know, so only just a few decades ago. But you go back before that, you've got this industry and people were very active. So they didn't need a gym because their life was built around being active.
Exactly.
And then you go back, you know, again, thousands of, you know, years ago, our ancestors, they were hunter-gatherers. They lived off of the land. They literally had these tribal units, and you know, they'd have, you know, tents or, you know, some sort of shelter, you know, and then they would go out, you know, men, women, and kids, they would go out, they would gather things during the day, men would hunt in groups, mm-hmm. and you know, and a hunt could last for days, weeks at a time, where they'd go out and they'd have to kill a, you know, buffalo or something, and then they'd bring that back to the tribe, the village, and then they would all feast on the buffalo. But that was very, very active, and their whole world was built around surviving,
yep.
of, you know, going out and getting the food, gathering the food, preparing the food, hunting the food. And, you know, so their whole lifestyle was built around activity. And they did not have the chronic diseases that we have today. So yep. now today, fast forward,
yep.
and here we are, we have technology, which has made things very convenient.
Yes. We're able to do what we're doing right now because of technology.
Correct, correct. So technology, yeah, has built so many conveniences
yes.
and benefits from a an information transmission mm-hmm. across the world. But
it has taken away so much of that built-in physical activity that we used to have. So, I mean, even think about things that we don't think about as a convenience we grew up with, but just think about things. Look at how cooking and cleaning has changed. So doing the laundry used to be physically
wow.
dunking clothes in the basin, using what's that called? The scrub, the...
I don't even know what it's called.
But literally, and then wringing it out, hanging it up. It was a physical thing. Now you what? You throw it in the washing machine. It does this little thing. It dings. You throw it in the dryer. It does this thing. It dings. Maybe you fold it depending on what your lifestyle is.
Yeah, you don't have to iron anymore,
yeah,
right? Because everything
yeah.
is not wrinkle free.
Exactly.
You know,
there's no ironing. There's no, yeah. So it's, you know, it's become like, think of how much physical activity we lost with that. Cooking, same thing. It used to be, you know, everything was fresh, cutting, prepping. Now it's, you know, you can ring up, have your food delivered to your door. We barely have to get off the couch.
Who's that? Is that, what's his name?
It's either Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan talks about like, hey, you know, can you deliver it? Can you bring it to me?
And feed it to me. That's pretty much the point that we're at. And so all of these things that used to be, again, times that we were up and moving and active, you know, if anyone's ever prepared a big meal, you know how, I mean, physically it's not going to the gym, but you're moving, you're hustling, you're bustling, you're using more calories than when you're just sitting and doing nothing. So that's, we've lost. Think about things like driving. Cars have become, you know, now you walk the few steps to your car,
yeah.
You go, you park as close as you possibly can to your destination. And so you've lost all of that versus, I mean, even people who live in the city, public transportation, you have a longer walk to the bus stop. Yep. You probably have a longer walk from the bus stop to your final destination, or you might be just able to walk more. Yep. I know. I mean, when I lived in the city, oh my gosh, I was getting 20,000 steps a day without even trying.
And of course, living in Pittsburgh too, that's not flat.
Oh yeah,
it's
exactly. When I lived in the South Side slopes, my goodness. Fantastic.
Well, so, you know, even transportation, think of like just in terms of like horseback riding.
Exactly. You
know? Aaron and I started watching 1883, which is the prequel to Yellowstone. Again, not putting a plug or whatever. We love the episodes. But, you know, you look at, you know, those settlers. I mean, that was their means of transportation was horseback riding.
Yeah.
And that is a very physically demanding activity.
Absolutely. Like, so the things that we do now for fun, that just used to be the norm.
That was
so
the norm,
we've lost all of these things and we are not making it up. And 30 minutes at the gym, even 60 minutes at the gym a day is not enough to make up for all of that physical activity that we've lost. Because now again, absolutely important to get that planned exercise time in. And it is very important to get strength training, to get, you know, flexibility work, to build up the cardiorespiratory health, all of that. But really it's the combination of both the planned exercise and the physical activity moving throughout the day that is going to put you in the right direction. And so actually, when you're talking about specifically, because we talked about chronic disease being so rampant, that's no, you know, mystery in this country. But when you're talking about chronic disease prevention, management, it's really, we hear the 10,000 steps a day. But actually what I learned when I was doing my master's was what you're really looking at is 10,000 steps a day in addition to your exercise. So a lot of people use their exercise that kind of gets them their 10,000 steps or gets them to their 10,000 steps. But if you're looking at, you should be getting 10,000 steps of physical activity a day plus your exercise, which is probably going to get you another 2,000 to 5,000, depending on what you're doing. So you're looking at really like 12,000 to 15,000 steps is what you should be, ideally, is what's going to get you a lot closer to that chronic disease prevention and chronic disease management. And I know a lot of people are probably hearing that number going, what? I am nowhere near that.
Yeah.
It's the product of our world, of our modern world. It's very, very difficult. If you have a sedentary job, I mean, that's one of the first things I said when I came to work for you. I was like, I will not sit at a desk all day. I can't do it. I had a job like that and it literally was killing me. So
Angela started renovating the whole back office.
So if you catch me in the back office, you might find me doing some resistance bands or stretches
jump,
or
clutches on the phone. Like,
he's joking, but it's true.
It's absolutely true. And yeah, we're about to put a deck off the back of the office. Yep. And you know, I know we're gonna all be out there doing some stretching.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, out in the sunshine in the middle of the day. But let's talk about what can we do to offset that. And again, let's go back to that 10,000 steps a day thing. You know, when we look at our ancestors, and I think that, you know, it's been estimated what they walked on average about 12 miles a day.
Yeah, something
was
like that.
So again,
we're not even close.
I mean, they're walking almost a half marathon a day just from their being up, moving around.
For anyone who doesn't know, 10,000 steps, generally, give or take, is considered about 5 miles.
So we're talking about a third of that if you're getting your 10,000 steps. So again, it's like, you know, people that are always going to ask, like, well, what the heck do we do with this information? I can't quit my job. I love my job. Some people quit their job. And you know what? It's very interesting that, you know, we do have people who, you know, we always talk about trying to get to the root cause of people's problems. And, you know, I wouldn't say a majority of situation, but I would say definitely in quite a few cases, it is their job as a root cause of their stress, mental, emotional stress, lack of activity. Yeah. And again, we talk about all of those stresses. They feed into one another. You can't separate, you know, the physical, the biochemical, the mental, emotional, spiritual. You cannot separate those. People always ask me, oh, is this a nerve pain or is this a muscle pain? You know, it's like, what's it? It's like, yes.
Yes.
It's all interconnected. And we'll talk about that in another segment. But But yeah, so what do we do knowing that we get maybe half to a third on a good day? If you're doing really good, getting your 10,000 steps, you might be getting half or a third of what we are genetically, you know, really comprised of and supposed to be getting on an average daily basis. So what do we do to help offset that? Mm-hmm. So let's go into, you know, one of my first thoughts is, you know, having like a, you know, they've got treadmill desks now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
or even as simple as what I have, a standing desk. Yeah. So that's what I went to standing desk, at my last job, and that's something I will never be without because again, it really is. So even just the difference, standing might not seem very active, but the difference as far as what your body is doing and burning, just going from sitting to standing right there, you're already, your body's working harder. You have more muscle engagement. Your legs are more involved. Your core is more involved, can help with posture. Plus when you're standing, you're naturally not going to be able to stand as long. So you're going to feel that kind of need to shift, to move, to maybe stretch, bends, you know, kind of move around versus sitting where 2, 3, 4, 8 hours can go by without actually feeling the need to move because we've just gotten so accustomed to that position. So yeah, standing desk, absolutely. If you have the ability to do a treadmill desk or, I mean, people working at home now, if you have a treadmill, I mean, people I know have kind of, put together their own contraptions where, because again, it's like if you're going to be taking a meeting, I'm not saying you're going to have to run full speed, but walk at a nice, 2.5 or 3 or,
you can do it at one or two on an elevation. Yep. So you're at an angle because just by virtue, you know, I always talk to people about when you're, you know, when you're on a treadmill and you want to increase the resistance and the intensity, you know, a lot of people, the immediate thing is like, oh, I have to run faster. But you actually, when you look at the equation of cardiac output and actually how much emphasis is put on your cardiovascular system, it is actually much easier to increase your intensity by increasing the height or the angle of your inclination on a treadmill, or if you're doing a an elliptical or a bike, you increase the resistance. But if you increase the angle of a treadmill, that will exponentially increase your cardiac output versus, you know, you have a very flat, you know, 1-to-1 ratio of speed, right? You can only go so fast on a flat surface, you know, in each incremental, you know, step of speed, you're not exponentially increasing it. Whereas if you start to incline, now you're really exponentially increasing your cardiac output.
Yeah, so, I tell people that all the time. If they like to walk, I was like, make sure, I mean, again, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, it's easy.
We got lots of hills. Pick one, make sure it's part of your route, or, you know, a set of steps or something. But yeah, so that's a great option doing that. If you're working from home or again, if you're in an office where you have the ability to walk around, something else I suggest is if you're doing a meeting, again, a lot of things are virtual now. So if you're doing a phone meeting, you know, anytime I'm meeting with somebody over the phone, I'm out in the yard walking around, especially on a nice day or I'm back in the office pacing around. So just little things like that, where anytime that you don't have to be sitting, making sure you're getting up. Now, if you really do have the kind of job, I mean, you know, there's obviously certain jobs where your job's at your computer. You have to be at your computer. I'd say like those fitness trackers are a big, you don't have to get anything fancy. I have like a low grade Fitbit. I just kind of like it. So, again, it just kind of keeps you accountable. You can put the reminders on it. So it'll buzz if you haven't moved in the last hour. Those are really helpful because again, time just flies by. And they're also a great way to just kind of take inventory. You know, we talk about this all the time. It all comes back to being mindful. So if you aren't aware of how little you're moving throughout the day, then again, you're not necessarily going to think it's something you need to change. So if you wear one of those trackers and see, oh my gosh, I only did 500 or 1,000 steps.
I've had
clients tell me that where they real, you know, all of a sudden, especially when things went home based, because again, think about that. When we took away the commute, when we took away the office setting, now you don't even have that. You were going from your bedroom to your home office or your couch or whatever that setting.
Some people work in their bed.
Yeah, exactly. So you have taken away, again, the limited, like, little amount of physical activity we had left of that work commute, and we've now completely taken that in further. So, yeah, really you have to to be mindful. You have to figure out how much you're actually doing, and then figuring out. And that's part of what I work with clients is figuring out individual strategies, because it's different for everybody based off their job, based off their situation. But finding those strategies of ways to break up your day. And I really want you to touch on that, of why it's so important to have that movement throughout the day from an energy standpoint. And
So let's go back, and you know, even just you mentioned earlier about the sitting, just going from a sitting to a standing position completely changes the mechanics of how the musculature and how the spine is set. And maybe you didn't say it in those words exactly,
that's exactly what I said.
But that's exactly how I was picturing it, because if you look, there are studies showing that the incidence of low back pain, and again, chiropractic is great for, you know, intervening and treating low back pain, but that is, you know, the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we actually do. But if you look at the incidence of low back pain in cultures, again, tribal cultures, where they don't sit on chairs, you know, they get down into a squat position. The primal squat. You know, maybe they'll, you know, maybe, or they'll sit down in like a you know, cross-leg position. Again, the difference in terms of muscle activation of that versus sitting on a chair is significant. You know, you basically, when you're sitting on a chair, we're sitting on it right now,
we're both fidgeting.
Had our coffee, and now it's like, you know, sitting in a chair.
Talking about sitting makes me just want to not sit.
But yeah, I mean, we're literally, you're sitting on the back of your legs where your hamstring groups are. You're sitting on your butt where your glute muscles are. Those and your quads are some of the strongest muscles in the body. And yet we're literally just flattening them out. Yeah, completely deactivating them. And not to mention, you're literally compressing a couple different things. You're compressing the nerves and the circulation in the back of the legs, the butt in the back of the legs. So people who have, you know, this sciatic pain, you know, this pain in their low back, this pain down their legs. It's like, okay, we got to get you up. And we call it the old man butt, right? And again, not to be rude, but if you think of, you know, an elderly man, maybe in his 80s, 85, 90, and you've seen this where it's like they have this very tucked under presentation where it almost looks, you know, like they want to sit down. Maybe they're walking with a walker. Their legs are kind of out in front of them. They're hunched over forward. Their head starts going out in front of them. And what that does is that comes from a very weak spine and a very weak musculature base foundationally, you know, from the transitional muscles from the core to the hips to the legs and downward. And so, you know, the legs to the hips and then up to the core is such a transitional zone of how we're hitting gravity and those gravitational forces up through the body. You're eliminating a lot of that normal healthy activation when you sit. But when you stand up, now those muscles have to engage differently. And so, like you said, just by virtue of standing up, now the entire transition going from your feet, okay, because that's where all the force of your body, the weight of your body is, you know, right through the surfaces of your feet, coming up into the legs and transitioning into the glute, the butt muscles, and then, you know, and then up to the lower spine and then all the way up to the head. Now you're actually activating that entire, what is called the kinetic chain. And why that's important is when your spine is, you know, activated, okay, you have something that is called proprioception. Proprioception, simply put, is your body's awareness of where muscles and joints are in space. So if I close my eyes and I put my hand way out in front of me, I don't have to see that my hand is out in front of me to know that it's there. You know, I can keep my eyes closed, put it up above my head. I know my hand and my arm are up above my head because of proprioception. There are signals in the joints and the musculature that come into the brain that let you know where your body is in space. Those muscles and joints are activated very, very differently from a seated position versus a squat versus a stand, you know, versus, you know, exercise. And the reason that's important is because the proprioceptive input is one of the largest inputs into the brain. So, you know, we always talk about it. One of the simplest ways to, you know, think about it is, you know, a windmill. If a windmill isn't resting, it's not generating electricity. But if a windmill is spinning, as it spins, the motion of that generates electricity, you know, and it can generate a decent amount of electricity depending on its size. Same idea. We've all had days where it's like we just have lazy days. We wake up, you know, it's a Saturday and we don't want to get off the couch. And, you know, we're just kind of binge watching, you know, whatever TV show. And, you know, we're on our couch, we're in bed, and it's just like we lay around all day. So, again, it's kind of a paradox because we think, wait a minute. Well, I haven't utilized any energy throughout my day, so I should have, you know, all this reserve of energy. But how do we feel at the end of the day when we're laying?
So tired. Exhausted.
Yeah, we're exhausted. I can barely move state, yeah. Right? So it's like, you know, and again, this feeds in, we talked about mental, emotional. I mean, this feeds into depression, right? And it's a vicious cycle because, you know, then you get into a state of depression.
Where you physically can't.
You mentally, emotionally have the block of like, I can't move. And then you get to a point where it's like, you haven't moved for so long, you physically can't move because your body is stuck in this state of lack of movement. Versus, okay, you have the, you know, you have where you're up, you're moving around, maybe you go outside for a nice walk on, whether it's a crisp morning, you know, nice crisp morning in the spring or the fall, you know, or you're getting out, you're moving around, you go do some rigorous exercise. How do you feel after your exercise? Your brain is stimulated. You're like, you know, ready to go. You've got mental clarity and you're breathing. You've basically stimulated your brain and your nervous system. You've got your circulation moving all over the body, you know, going to muscles, especially if you've done resistance exercise, to, you know, increase that circulation. You dilated all the blood vessels to the musculature. And so now your body is very awake. It's stimulated. And that in turn, again, just continues that you've got a, you know, you can have a vicious cycle downward, but you can have a positive cycle, you know, an acceleration of, you know, your just overall activity, and activation of your health and well-being. So, it's just so important in terms of, you know, the motion, and the activation of that, you know, of that proprioception. And it's very interesting, you know, and I always tell this to, you know, to clients that I work with, the largest concentration of proprioceptors in the entire spine is the neck. Okay. And even more largely right at the base where the skull meets the spine, you've got two segments up there called the atlas and axis. Those are C1, C2. Those are the first segments in the spine. Those have some of the highest concentration of proprioceptors in the entire body. If those are not moving appropriately, or they are out of alignment in some way so that they're not being activated appropriately, it can have a significant impact on not just pain, but a significant impact on, you know, all sorts of a body function, and really leading to dysfunction. You know, I've seen people have, you know, massive headaches from that, you know, balance disorientation problems. I've seen people have pain, digestive issues, you know, issues of concentration, mental clarity. You know, I've seen people have, you know, again, mental emotional challenges because of, you know, all of the locking that's going on in the neck. So, you know, from a chiropractic standpoint, we look to restore that motion and alignment, not just to eliminate pain, but to really help someone experience, you know, overall health and well-being. And that comes through the restoration of that movement. And it's so powerful because by restoring that movement and restoring that alignment, you are literally activating, stimulating the entire nervous system through your body. And as we know, your nervous system controls and coordinates every other function. So if your nervous system is functioning better by way of movement, okay, and then once we get it moving better, okay, then we want to do things to keep it in motion.
Yeah.
You know, so I always say, use the example of like, it's easy, you know, it's hard to get a rowboat moving, okay? If you're out in the middle of a lake, it's hard to get a rowboat or, you know, big boat moving, right? You know, so it's really, you know, you got to put a lot of force to get that momentum moving. Once you get it moving, though, It's easy to keep it moving in that direction. Yeah. So, you know, that's why we talk about with care, you know, it's the same thing with activity sometimes. It's like you've got to, you know, really put some effort into it at the beginning. You know, they talk about 30 days to break a habit. You really got to put some effort into it at the beginning. But once you get things moving in the right direction, then it's a lot easier to keep it moving in that direction. So that was a long tangent and bringing it back around. But
yeah, it really is, you know, because again, it has to be something like we talked about, our society, our modern technology driven lifestyle has taken away the natural physical activity. So just like everything, just like, you know, we talked about when we talked about the current diet patterns of our society, it has to be a mindful decision. It has to be something that you choose to do. Workplaces, you know, we have a talk actually that I've given before, productivity in motion and kind of ways to help, you know, make the workplace more movement friendly. And because that's really, people need to recognize this is a problem. And actually, you know, they say sitting is the new smoking, and it truly is. It independently, a sedentary lifestyle is now considered a risk factor for heart disease. Yeah. So separate of, you know, weight, separate of all the blood pressure, all the things that we know it can affect, just sedentary lifestyle on its own is considered a risk factor. So think about how many people that puts at risk for heart disease. So we know we are seeing this trend. We know it's connected. So again, it's unfortunately, it's just not enough to go to the gym for that hour a day or half hour a day or whatever. It's really going to be about finding those ways to incorporate that activity throughout the day. It's going to help physically. And like you said, I think like with, you know, the mental, emotional, and the productivity. So people think sometimes, I don't have time to take a break. I don't have time to take a break. But honestly, if you take that break, take a few minutes, get up, move around, stretch, you will actually be more focused, more productive. Yeah. So, and there's been studies to show that people who take those breaks at the end of the day actually have been more productive than the people that are just sitting there all day long. So if you're one of those people, you know, I know I'm the same way. I mean, I like the way our schedule is because we kind of get that break over lunch. So it sort of feels like two separate shifts instead of one long day. Yeah. But you know, there's times that sometimes we're doing stuff over that break, and yeah, you do. By the end of the day, you're just like, oh my gosh, I have been staring at a computer for how many hours? Like, feel that sort of tiredness, that sluggishness. So, getting up, it doesn't have to be a lot. Getting up, moving a few minutes, breaking up that sedentary behavior, incorporating some of those things. And again, we have a lot of information on our website. You can always reach out to me directly if you have a specific situation that you're looking to help fix. But it really, really is. It's so important because, again, it's not something that's going to get better. It's probably going to continue to get worse as technology continues to make things easier and easier for us. So it really is something that you have to be mindful about. You have to really find ways and strategies in your life to increase those times throughout the day that you're moving and you're utilizing your body in the way that was meant and designed to be used.
Yeah. And, you know, getting one of the, you know, greatest pieces of advice that was ever given to me, you know, as I had my first son, and, you know, someone said, you know, getting on the floor with your children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and really it's just a simple piece of advice is, you know, if you look at how children play, they're constantly in motion. Mm-hmm. It's like they're moving. It's like we can't sit down and watch a show for 20 minutes without our kids, you know, wrestling on the couch. And it's like, that's because that's how we are designed. Mm-hmm. They're just such a pure phase of it. That's what they want to do. It's like their body, their brain is developing, like everything is developing, and that motion helps with that development. So it's like, you know, boys don't suffer from ADHD as much as they suffer from being in an environment that is not genetically compatible to what they're doing. It's like, you know, so all these boys being put on medication for ADHD, it's like, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I understand there might be, you know, some very specific targeted cases that might need that. But the majority of cases of ADHD are, you should be moving.
You're forcing them to sit
for 8 hours a day. They're forcing a child to sit in an environment that they're not genetically compatible to be in. So it's like, again, going back to, do we mask the problem with medication, put a Band-Aid on it, or do we change the environment mm-hmm. to actually meet the success and the health of the individual? So with that being said, it's like, if we look at, you know, maybe you can't, you know, go out and walk 10,000 steps a day. Are there ways to improve or increase the activity or the type of activity that we do that would be beneficial?
And are you talking like as far as physical activity or exercise?
Exercise. That, is there a way to offset, you can't replace the movement, but in terms of types of activity, because people always ask me this, in terms of walking versus, high intensity.
Right? Yeah.
So we talk about intensity a lot.
Yeah. I mean, with exercise, I always tell people again, using your body in the most natural way is going to be one of the best options. So, high intensity interval training is becoming very popular. So bursts of high intensity with rest in between is, again, all great ways to help get in shape, help with cardiorespiratory health, help with strength training. The functional training is becoming much more. So the type of stuff where, again, we were talking about our ancestors and what were they doing? They were going out, they were jumping, they were climbing, they were crawling under things, they were crouching, they were lifting heavy things. So kind of mimicking that in your exercise is a great way to, again, help the body do what it's supposed to do. Because even the walking for long distance, I hate walking on concrete.
Yeah.
Hate it. Won't do it. I will if I have to. But, if I'm going out, I'll go hike in the woods where it's on on the ground. Or run. If I run, I do trail running. I cannot stand running on pavement.
Yeah, surface.
So again, things like that. And then at the gym, I'm a fighter, so I'm doing kicking, punching, but again, it's using the body in ways that it was designed, working through that range of motion. So doing that kind of stuff versus maybe just going to the gym and lifting just to lift. There's nothing wrong with that if that's your particular goal and that fits with your goal. But if you're talking about trying to utilize the body in the way that it's designed, I'm a big, big fan of doing that kind of more full body, full body kind of stuff.
Well, I think at the end of the day that, really what I was trying to get at with my question is that, I even had this conversation yesterday with a client, just in terms of a lot of people have trouble with sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of this technology world that we live in. It's like we are not physically wearing our bodies down enough. So it's like we feel tired mentally because we mentally drained our body, but we haven't physically worn our body down. So now it's like we're just kind of in this la la land where it's like we feel like we're tired. We feel like we want to fall asleep, but we can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
And so again, getting to the wearing down the body and in terms of that intensity, I have always found my body, when I trained for a marathon and I was doing long runs, that was actually one of the sickest points that I've ever been in my life. I got, some sort of cold or flu-like symptom, probably once or twice a month as I was doing that long distance training. And this is the reason I bring this up. It's nothing against running, but, I look at it like a triangular tiered approach, three-legged stool when I look at, activity. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of those tiers being resistance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where we're really trying to work the muscle, break that muscle down to the point where it's a little bit sore the next day. Mm-hmm. Because a sore muscle is a muscle in recovery. A muscle in recovery is burning energy, not just while it's in use, but also while it's recovering. So we look at resistance exercise to build the strength, the strength stability of a muscle. Then we look at that, really what we were talking about a lot, which is the walking, the activity, just being up, moving around, so that cardiovascular stuff. And then, really it's the mobility, the flexibility. Mm-hmm. Can you take your joint and put it through a full range of motion. Mm-hmm. We talk about that flat butt syndrome, old man butt syndrome.
Can you do a primal squat?
Yeah. That's actually one of the biggest factors of measuring overall fitness and overall health. Mm-hmm. There's literally a test of going from a stand to a sit position, back to a stand position. Mm-hmm. And there's points of contact that you need to be able to do that whole motion. Mm-hmm. And the more points of contact that you need, the more health that you do, the poorer your score is, versus if you can go from a standing position, go all the way down, sit your butt on the ground, and then get back up with as minimal, use of your hands as possible. You have a really high score because you have a very strong, core and leg stability to be able to do that. the only way to strengthen that is to be able to use it.
Yep.
You know, so again, it's like you're looking at strength, you're looking at the endurance, okay, the cardiovascular, the walking, running, jogging, and then you're looking at the mobility, the flexibility. Are you able to move your joints through a full range of motion? And I think that the healthiest people are the ones that have that triangle very well balanced. So, yeah, so that's kind of where I was getting at with that. And again, that's a whole other segment in terms of types of exercises.
That's not even what we were.
but again, I think it's important for people to hear, because it's like, you know, it's not just one. You know, you hear that with people coming into our office. It's like one. You know,
they're just doing runners one, or cyclists or swimmers. Yeah.
It's like let's make mix this up a little bit, and you know, and again, you know, the more you're able to harmonize those different types of exercises, you know, the healthier you are from a fitness perspective and helping to offset that sedentary lifestyle.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said,
seems like a good place to wrap it up.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much. Again, if you if any of this resonated with you, or you have more questions, do not hesitate to reach out. Find our information on Turo, T-U-R-O, familychiropractic.com. You know, where we're happy to you know, to listen to you, just answer your questions that you have. You know, and again, you know, we have so many more podcasts, so much more information out there, videos all over the place. So this information is, again, free and for you. And again, if you need someone to help you dive deeper, or help you find someone near you that you want to, you know, formulate a relationship as part of your healthcare team, you know, we can help you find that person if you're not in the Southwestern Pennsylvania region. So.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
See you soon.
You've been listening to What the Health with Dr. Dan and Angela Turo, brought to you by Turo Family Chiropractic. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.whatthehealth.world.